So are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? I wonder if I'm ready for this. But now, hey, we are, whenever we start covering a topic like this, I imagine that there's people in here that are probably thinking to themselves, why do we need to talk about this in church? And so I want to give you a couple of reasons why I think this is important to cover in church. The first is 40% of this church is single. Maybe teenage single, young adult single, maybe older single, maybe single again, maybe single again, maybe single again, okay? And so I, as a pastor, look, I want you to have great relationships. I believe your Heavenly Father wants you to have great relationships. And so sometimes, and I think what a great place to have a frank and honest conversation than in the church, to have this conversation framed out, because can I tell you, the culture around us is preaching this message. The church needs to respond. So thank you, Charles. Yeah. Charles is my friend there. But now, so we're going to be talking about this, but I want to say, who is this sermon for? Who is this series? And we're going to be dealing with this for 3 weeks. Who is this for? Well, it's all who are single. It's for, if you're a teenager and you're 18, you're like, that's the last thing I'm thinking about is marriage. I understand that, but when the someday comes, I want you to be prepared, because I want you to get it right the first time. And maybe some of you have like, I got it definitely wrong a couple of years ago, and I want to get it right then. This for you. Now, this series is not for the recreational dater. Now, if you're a recreational dater in here, you're probably going to send me a mean email, because this is going to ruin your fun. Because if you're a recreational dater, you're just having fun. Maybe for you, just take some notes and put it in a filing cabinet. And when you're ready to settle down, then you're ready for this information. I think that's important. But you're probably not going to like this series. But if you're sitting there and you're like, well, okay, Justin, if 40% is single in this service, then 60% is married. And so you're telling me I can take a nap for the next 3 weeks in the series? And I'd say, no, I don't want you to check out if you're married. Because I know this, that God may use you in some amazing way where you may have a moment of influence in someone's life. And God may want to give you words of wisdom to speak to that person that may be open to what you have to say. And God may use you. And so what a great opportunity to have a framework. And if you're a parent and you're getting ready to have this talk with your kids, what a great framework to have. So I don't think you should check out. And in fact, even if you're married, I think there's still some things you can learn about this. So that's who this series is for. But before we go in there, I want to give you my personal disclaimer. So I'm going to give you kind of my personal disclaimer. Even though this is rated PG, I'm coming from a perspective, I'm 39 years old, I'm a guy, so that you can hold that against me. So I'm coming from this perspective. I'm 39, and in this coming April, I will have been married 15 years. And so, it's actually, they're clapping for you, because you got to put up with this for 15 years. So that's what they're doing. I was in the dating scene, Creed was playing on the radio. So you're probably thinking it, and you're single, and you're like, how can you, this old married dude, help me in this dating world? And I'm here to tell you, I don't understand how it is right now. I'm not in that scene. I'm not going to pretend that I know what you're dealing with the complexity of relationships. But I will say, with common sense and the power of the scripture, I believe you can have life-giving relationships. And that's what I want for you. And I think that's what God wants for you. And I know that there's a temptation, and the culture is all about saying, hey, look, have your fun now while you're dating. And then when you get all your oats sowed or whatever that means, I don't even know what that means. Whenever you get all that worked out, then you can settle down and get married. But I'm here to tell you, that's flawed thinking. Your relationships and how you approach dating will affect your marriage. And the reason why is because simply this: your present will be your past at some point. So how you approach dating right now will be your past, and your past will be present in your future. No matter how much we try to compartmentalize, no matter how much time, there is times where we find ourselves, how we dated, how we viewed dating actually finds its and rears its ugly head in marriages and becomes baggage and luggage. And just because you say, I do at the altar, doesn't mean you're prepared and that you can. A commitment doesn't mean that you're able. And so we're talking about how to be able, because I want you to be able to have amazing relationships. And so the reason, I'm going to give you a little example how this works. If you're single and you have some married friends, you've maybe heard them say this. Well, we're just having marriage problems. Have you heard that before? We're just having marriage problems. Can I tell you that there's no such thing as marriage problems? Well, no, scratch that. The only marriage problem I can think of is the toothpaste on where to squeeze the toothpaste. Get two things of toothpaste, marriage problem solved. That's because usually what happens when people say there's marriage problems, they're thinking, well, I don't think I had problems before marriage. It means when I got into marriage, now I had problems. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have marriage problems. You have a marriage with problems. Two people coming into close proximity saying, till death do us part. And then all of a sudden, you're bringing in all your baggage and a lot of times your past relationships, your past, how you approach dating. And so that's why your past or your present will become your past at some point, and your past will always try to find its way into your future. And I think you can get it right the first time. That's why we need to deal with this before we say, I do. Now, there's something that culture is kind of perpetuating the last couple, I don't know how many years, but it just seems like this is what culture is talking us about. The idea of the right person. If you're dating, the whole idea, and this is how the right person myth goes. If you find the right person, then everything will be all right. Movies are all about it. Music's all about it. Books, you read all about it. If you find the right person, so the whole idea is how to find the right kind of person, and everything will be all right. I'm here to debunk this myth. And so I'm going to tell you a story of Mr. and Miss Wright. And so I have saying, well, all this from Mr. and Miss Wright, I've compiled over 18 years of being a pastor, of having a lot of crazy conversations with people and talking with people and marriage counseling. And I've been a pastor longer than I've been married. In fact, when you're a pastor, when you're on an airplane and someone, you know, what's the typical thing? Hey, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor. One of two things either happens. Either I have to defend the church for the last, 2,000 years, or they start spilling their guts. And then you're like, and what was your name again? It can get awkward. It's like, how long of a flight is this? Oh, no. It happens all the time. And so after 18 years of being a pastor and all kinds of crazy conversations, I'm going to show you and peel back the doors of what's going on in married people's minds. So if you're single, I'm so glad you're here, because I'm going to tell you something that your single friends will not even dare tell you. And so if you're married, you're really nervous at this point. You're thinking, hey, yes, I am going there is what I'm doing. So here's how the story starts. Mr. Wright is looking for Miss Wright. And Miss Wright is looking for Wright. They're looking for each other. And so they're dating around because they're pursuing. They're on the hunt. You know what I mean? And they're looking for who they are. And they're like, well, the reason why they're after Mr. Wright or Miss Wright, the reason why is because they've been told by, was that movie Jerry Maguire, that you complete me. So they're looking for that person to complete them. And he's looking for her to say, you had me at hello. That's what they want. They're looking for that. They're looking for that because they're looking for to be completed as a person. So they're on this pursuit of trying to find the right person. If I find the right person, then everything will be all right. And they date different people. Then all of a sudden, their eyes meet. And you know they're the right person. Why? Because there's chemistry. Sparks are flying. I don't know about you, but Dashboard Confession is in the background. A Okay, that just dated me, but it's you know, it's play in the background. The world starts to slow down, and your eyes meet, and you're like, whoa. And there's chemistry there, and everything's like, oh my goodness. So you start dating. But can I just time out here? You can have chemistry, and you can have just the sparks with a lot of different people. But let's get back to the story. So they're connected. Their eyes meet. Their chemistry is strong there, and they know they're the right person because the chemistry and the sparks and the song and it's just awesome. It's beautiful, and they think to themselves, "No one has ever loved like this before. We are so unique. No one has ever loved. I mean, the world doesn't even understand this love that we have. It's so deep and so amazing because the chemistry is so strong." And then someone gets the bright idea. Well, you don't buy a vehicle till you test drive it. So let's jump into bed. So they jump into bed. And then the sparks are even there. And they're thinking, yeah, this is absolutely amazing. And then all of a sudden, they're like, well, let's get married. So they get married. And then this amazing thing happens when you get married. People give you money in envelopes when you get married. And people give you 45 toasters when you get married. You know what I'm talking about? And blenders. It's an amazing thing. And you're thinking, well, this is great. We've got this chemistry. It's awesome. But unfortunately, they're so focused on the chemistry that they forgot to think about the relational compatibility. Just because you're physically compatible doesn't mean you're relational compatible. And so they didn't think about that, but their love's so hot, the sparks are there, Dashboard Confessions playing, it's just wonderful. And so they're connected, but then all of a sudden, and this is where, singles, this is where your married friends will never even say this. Very soon, the relationship starts to sour. And then all of a sudden, you know what else sours when the relationship starts to suffer? The sex suffers. And they're not as intimate anymore. And the frequency is not as there. And then all of a sudden, they start to get nervous because their whole foundation of the relationship was chemistry. And the chemistry is starting to separate here. And we're not seeing each other as more. And the intimacy is not as there as it was. And so they start getting nervous. And the guy starts getting nervous. And the guy will typically say, you know how to fix this? We just need more sex. It's like a monkey wrench. Can I just pause there? Y'all are so nervous. You're just looking at me going, oh, my goodness. I told you it's PG. Can I just time out from the story? Gentlemen, sex was never designed to fix anything. It's a barometer of how well things are. It doesn't. Well, you don't have to clap for that, you know. But it's true. And so back to him, he's just thinking, well, I know how to fix this thing. And so they start getting nervous, and then she starts to really get nervous because, again, they're starting to pull away because the very foundation of the relationship was chemistry, was physical, was sexual. And so they didn't think about relational. They didn't think about relational capable. And so they're starting to pull away, and so she thinks an emergency. She offers a suggestion, and it's usually the woman, but I don't want to paint with a too broad a brush. You know, sometimes guys will suggest it. She says, you know what we need to do? We need to have a baby. Ooh, you've heard this before. It's true. We'll have a baby. And so the guy's like, I don't think so. But then the guy's like, oh, I know how babies are made. Okay, yes. So the guy quickly gets on board. But unfortunately, this is a crazy thing if you think about it. If you take a step back, I'm going to bring in another relational dynamic to an already hurting marriage. And I'm thinking that's going to fix this marriage. Now you're having arguments with insomnia now. You're having arguments with a crying kid in the background. Let's take a step back and think. I mean, common sense here. A baby's not going to fix anything. It's a beautiful blessing. But I'm telling you, it's not going to fix your marriage. But they're like, okay, let's have the baby. And then things start to even get heated more. And things are, they're pulling away. And she's dealing with this. And she's dealing with that. And he's dealing with this. And then so he goes to work. or he goes to the gym and he makes eye contact with someone else. And there's chemistry. And all of a sudden he thinks to himself, uh-oh, I think I just met Miss Wright. I must have married the wrong person. And then she goes to the gym, or she goes to work, or she goes to the gym, and she bumps into Jim. She goes, hey, Jim, you know. And their eyes meet, and there's chemistry there. And she thinks to herself, oh, that must mean if Jim's right, that means I married the wrong person. And so then the cycle starts all over again. But there is a better way to view dating, because how you view dating and viewing this idea of finding the right person is toxic in a marriage. And time again, I have seen this erode marriages from the inside out. And if you want to be married in the future, it matters how you date now. And so instead of finding the right person, you need to become the right person. Instead of finding and being on the hunt, it's about finding and hunting. It's about becoming the right person, because God made relationships. God made you for relationships. And not only that, but God made you to want to hear someone say, I love you. God made you to want to hear someone say, I respect you. You're the priority of my life. You have these needs and you have these desires in your heart because you're made in the image of God, and you have that. But unfortunately, we oftentimes derail ourselves because we're all about the finding and never even think about the becoming. Now, if you're a Christian in here, you're thinking, well, what does the scripture say about finding the right person? Not a whole lot. There's a few scriptures about finding the right kind of friends, but in the New Testament, they didn't go on dates like we do today. In fact, they had arranged marriages. Any fathers in here would like to go back to arranged marriages? Okay, just me, but I mean, they had arranged marriages, so just imagine that kind of marriage counseling, you know, that the reason why I'm married to so-and-so is because her father, you know, because of the transaction of a few goats and everything, and now I'm supposed to be married. I mean, could you imagine that? Where it wasn't even your choice in the matter? But the Bible doesn't talk a lot about finding the right person, doesn't talk about dating, but it does talk a whole lot about becoming the right person. And so we're going to be talking about this, and if you're single, this is what you need to know. You need to ask yourself this question: are you who the person you were looking for is looking for? So you have a list. Ladies, I know you have a list, and it's a long list. You have a lot. I mean, you're detailed. That's awesome. You have a long list. My question is, are you the person on that list? You want integrity. You want that person to be a man after God's own heart. Are you a person after God's own heart? Are you a person of integrity? Are you the person that, are you the one who you're looking for is looking for? Gentlemen, I know your list is not that long. It first starts with, is she breathing? I understand that, right? But beyond that, who do you want? You want someone of integrity, honesty, loving. Are you these qualities? Because a person that you're looking for will not be attracted to the people that you have on the page if you're not those qualities. Does that make sense? And so the question is now, well, who do we need to become? What do we have a list, Justin, that we can kind of go off on? And I got to tell you, there's a list. Paul wrote a list of qualities that are vital in a relationship. He did that in his letter to this church in Corinth. Now, this church in Corinth, if you're sitting there thinking, Justin, in this society, everything is so saturated with love and sex and all that. It's just ridiculous. I mean, we're in February, for crying out loud. It seems like a made-up holiday for Hallmark and candy companies. And we're just thinking, everything's so materialized. And it's just terrible. Well, if we feel that way, the church in Corinth felt that way too, because they were a seaport. And some theologians would even say that Corinth was a Las Vegas of the ancient world. And so he talked, in fact, because of the rating that's PG, I'm not going to tell you what they were dealing with in Corinth. I mean, it was just crazy stuff. So don't think this Bible is out of touch. It's actually so much more applicable today. It's absolutely applicable. And so Paul writes to these people in Corinth because they were so jaded by their view of love that he wants to redefine love for them. And as he's defining it, we get a sense that love is not a feeling. It's not butterflies in the stomach. It's not this chemistry. Love is a verb. And this is how he starts off. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patient. Love is patient. Now, if you're a Christian, you want to view dating differently, and I think you should, then you need to view love and be patient and use dating as an opportunity to practice patience, an opportunity to not put pressure. Love doesn't put pressure. Love doesn't push. Love gives space. Wouldn't that be awesome? In a dating relationship where you weren't pressured, that's what love is. Love is patient. Consequently, we need to be people. If you're in the dating world, you need to be people that are patient, have a longer fuse. It doesn't pressure. It doesn't push. It's patient. It gives space. Love is kind. Oh, I love this. Don't you think marriages could use that too? Kindness. You know what kindness is? Is using one strength for the betterment of someone else, the weaker person. To use one strength to be considerate of that person. Love is kind. I think we could all use a little bit of that. It does not envy. Can I tell you how gross envy is? I mean, envy is terrible, but you know what it's saying here? It does not envy. You know what envy tries to do? Envy sees someone that's having a good day and says, I'm going to make sure that person doesn't have a good day. They need to be real with what's going on in the world. And so because envy is not having a good day, it wants to make sure no one else is having a good day. It's competition. Do you know how toxic competition is in a marriage? Well, where do you learn this? You learn this while you're dating. When you go to Applebee's, you know, or Chili's, you know, whatever our options are here. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. There's no competition. It's not trying to get the best. It does not boast, and it is not proud. So it does not boast. It's not about itself. It's not proud. It's not this one-upmanship, right? It's humble. I think we could all use a little bit more humility in our relationships, right? And then it says it does not dishonor others. Oh, this is good. You know what this is saying us? Saying to those that are in the dating scene? It's saying you don't want to become someone's regret. Consequently, you don't want to create regret. It says this is what love does. Love honors. Love yields. Love doesn't want you to be at a place where you're not trying to go to Albertsons at a certain time because you don't want to see so-and-so. Love honors others. Now, ladies, if I could just talk to you just for a second, wouldn't it be awesome if you went on a date with a gentleman and he did not pressure you on how the night was going to end? Wouldn't you want that? And some of you are thinking, well, who does that person even exist? Does that guy exist? Can I tell you, after this series, I hope a whole bunch of them will exist. But have men of God that are gentlemen that honor others and don't pressure. That is a godly man, right? It is not self-seeking. It's not about self. It's not about boasting for ourselves. It's not about, and can I tell you, this is the most dangerous of all in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the riskiest. When you become a person that yields and a person that's a giver, it's so easy for people that are takers to take advantage of that. But how awesome is it in the dating scene that you can see if someone's always a taker and never a giver, do you really want to marry that? Ooh, that's getting deep. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin your weekend. But it's true, right? You're putting yourself out there and you learn that before you say I do. It's not self-seeking. Oh, this is good. It is not easily angered. Anybody convicted by that right now? And I know what you're thinking. Well, but Justin, I wouldn't be so easily angered if she didn't push my buttons. They are your buttons, though, aren't they? She knows the right thing to say, just get under my skin. Well, it is your skin. It is your issue. But love does not stir the pot. It doesn't wound up. It doesn't bow up. It is not easily angered. And then one of my favorite, it keeps no record of wrongs. Have you ever had a fight with the filing cabinet? You know what I'm talking about, right? Someone that has a really good memory. Well, 2004, I don't even know what was going on in 2000. I don't even know yesterday, much less 2004. Can I tell you that? Paul, thank you. Because this damages so many relationships, so many marriages. It's a power play when someone rehashes the past and throws it in your face. It damages a relationship. It damages the marriage. Excuse me. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, preacher, what am I supposed to do with this? Do I now bring my Bible on the dates? That's not a bad idea, but I digress. Am I supposed to bring my Bible, set it on the table at Applebee's on 1 Corinthians 13, and look up at him, put the Bible up and go, easily angered? Keeps no record of wrongs? Maybe, you know. Is it a checklist? No. This is about not you, and it could be a great filter, but more importantly, it's about you becoming these things. It's not about trying to change someone else. Because can I tell you, trying to change someone else only lasts for this long. Change doesn't work when you try to put pressure on people to change. They have to change themselves. And in fact, changing ourselves almost is impossible without a Heavenly Father to empower us by His Spirit, right? So it keeps no record of wrong. And I know what you're thinking. You're looking at that going, well, Justin, that's not a natural list. And I absolutely agree with you. Chemistry is natural. The sparks are natural, but becoming needs to be intentional. We need to change the way you view dating. It's not about the hunting. It's not about the finding. It's about the becoming, and it needs to be intentional. And so Paul wraps this whole thing up, and this is such strong language that I think you're going to be offended. If you're dating, and I'm saying this, but don't be offended at me. Paul did, by the way. So let's blame Paul. But this is what he says. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. And I reasoned like a child. But guess what? When I became a man, when I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And do you know, I think if you're single, I think what a great opportunity to mature and to grow. Because if you view dating, love, and sex through the lens of emotional immature child, thinking that the song that Taylor Swift is singing can be your story in your life, that her song, Love Story, can be your stuff, it's great for a song, but it's terrible for a life. When you think that a movie can be the grid in which, oh, I want the way that she's looking at him, I want that. And you think and you look at this, these are just actors. And by the way, we don't want to look at the divorce rate in Hollywood, by the way. So why would we want to get our cues from them? Ooh, I'm preaching now. But beyond that, the books that are out, the movies that we probably shouldn't be watching, when we get our cues from culture, that's like a child. A child thinks the prince and the princess ride on the white horse and go to the castle and everything is all right. It's great for a movie, but terrible for a life. I think we need to grow up in this, don't you? And when you mature, you start to view things as I need to become who God wants me to become instead of trying to hunt and find the right person. because you can become the right person. And focus less on the physical compatibility and more on the relational compatibility. Do I want to spend my life with this person that is so easily angered? This person that I'm not sure is faithful? This person is, you know, do you really want to do this? So that the question I want us to leave with is this. Are you who the person you were looking for is looking for? Are you the person you are looking for is looking for? Focus the becoming, not the hunting. Now, as I'm talking about this, I see it on some of your faces. You're like, I could have used this 12 years ago, Crispin. Where were you? I'm here to tell you, it's never too late to start becoming the person that God wants you to become. It's never too late. And maybe some of you have a lot of baggage, and you're having to work through this, and you're bringing a lot of baggage from the dating, and you're like, Justin, I wasn't even saved. I was just so messed up in the way I viewed dating and who I could get anything from, and it was terrible. But can I tell you, that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can make you new, but you start making the right decisions now, becoming the right person, change the way we view dating and change the way we view this idea. We're not hunting, we're becoming, and you can start now. And if you're in a marriage and that you're like, whoa, I'm not sure if I would have married so-and-so if I'd have heard this message, can I tell you, it's never too late for you to start becoming. It's not about you trying to change that person that you said, till death do us part. It's about changing you. It's about becoming who God wants you to become. And then when they see change in you, then that would maybe produce a hunger in them to change. And maybe, in fact, Peter talks about this. If one person in the relationship is a follower of Jesus and the other person isn't, they said, let your good deeds so outshine that they're drawn to Jesus. And so instead of trying to put this, it's too late for me, it's never too late. But if you're single, I'm telling you, you can do this right now. You don't have to go through this river of regret, but you can get it right now. So I want you to get your list out that you came to church and you were seeing it on the, you're probably sitting on it is what I'm trying to say. I think if you're single, you should memorize this list. You should memorize this. You need to be reminded that love is patient, is kind, does not envy, does not boast, not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I think if you're single, this becomes the target on becoming. This is your checklist. If you're married, take a highlighter, go through the ones that you feel like your spouse needs the most and put it on their mirror in the morning and say, this is your, no, just joking. I'm not, no, that's, I was making sure you were awake. No, that's terrible. That's, no, it's about becoming. You highlight, you work on it, and it's never too late in a marriage to start becoming. So even if you're married, I think now's the time to start memorizing this. Single, start memorizing this. And let's work on becoming instead of hunting. Now, next week carries a rating of PG-11. You know what that means? You've been warned. I don't want to hear any emails about, I can't believe you're saying this. Yeah, if you think this was, we're going a little bit deeper. We're going to be talking about that sex is not just physical. And so we're going to be talking about that. So I've warned you, that means PG-11, your kids need to be in the environments and your teenagers need to be on the front row. Let's all stand to our feet and let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, wow. Lord, there's so much of this nervous laughter because there's so many in here that may be dealing with some of the regrets. God, I just pray that your mercy and grace just envelop them and encourage them to make and start now. And I pray, Lord, that for the young person that's single, for the person that's single again, Lord, I pray that they will just grab a hold of this and start becoming the person that you created them to be, and not worrying about the hunting, because sooner or later, that person will come along. But it's all about the becoming. Lord, help us in this pursuit. May we pursue you in this. Pursue your character in our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,